Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is August 15th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock here on the West Coast. Thank you for joining us. Today we have with us Heidi Lambert, and I mentioned that to you yesterday, but Heidi wanted to ask Mimi Gurman to join us, and that's what we've done. So thank you both for joining us. I really appreciate you both being here.
Thanks for having us. I love doing shows with Miriam and Lonnie and you.
Yeah. So, you know, we had scheduled to talk about how radioactivity actually affects our mental attitude, but it kind of goes hand in hand with like the insanity of what is going on in our country. Like, and actually, for me, I don't actually think it's anything new. I think what we're seeing is that Traitor Trump has given them a voice. You know, he continues to act as if white supremacy is a real thing. And I was not actually, you know, what I was shocked at actually is the response that the entire government, not just the White House, but all of our elected officials were pretty silent about what happened. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't watch the news, honestly, so I haven't seen much, but I do have lots of family who are from Virginia who have been very defensive and taking pride, I guess, in their governor. I guess the governor shamed Trump and blamed some of this on Trump, but it was interesting to me on how many people that are friends of mine from Virginia who were super defensive. Super, like, this is not us, these are other people, and they went into the fact that the guy who ran the people over was from Ohio, and my one friend, she just really was defensive. She's like, you know, it was the first responders, it was the people here who were protesting, those are people who were from Virginia, but the counter protesters were from Virginia, but the people who were doing the white supremacist protest, a majority of those drove in for this protest. And I know that Portland actually was one of the first cities to have the white supremacists come in March. And it was really sickening because it was right after the death of the two Max, it was two people.
That's right,
Miriam? Two people were stabbed by a supremacist on the Max. And so then the white supremacists, pardon?
Stabbed to death.
Stabbed to death, yeah. And and so then that's when the white supremacists thought it was a good time to come do a protest in Portland. And that's when Portland said, hell no, you guys have to go. You can't come here. Maybe Miriam could tell us more about that. But it does seem like we need to remember that these white supremacists are everywhere. They're not just in one place. And they do travel and they do work together to try to make us hate and fear coming out and speaking against them.
One of the things that I've noticed, because we've had enough of these now to see a pattern, I see the pattern, that protest that you're talking about on June 4th was already scheduled. And the Mac stabbings happened to have happened right before that. But that protest was scheduled. And what we just found out was that the protest that just happened in Seattle 2 days ago was also already scheduled before the killings in Charlottesville. So it's making me think, huh, what's the inside track here? How come Patriot Prayer and Joey Gibson and Alan Puckett seem to know ahead of time that these other, you know, events are taking place? This is just speculation on my, you know, in my head. Is there word within the white supremacist railroad that a death is probably going to go down, you know? And so they plan these things for right after it happens. And I don't know, but like, isn't that weird that Joey Gibson had two different rallies planned right after major, not like any death isn't major, but murders happened? I find that odd.
Well, maybe he just had it planned anyways, Mimi. Maybe he just had it planned. You know, maybe
he did
had
have
planned
it.
But I mean, maybe he had it planned. Maybe they didn't know about the deaths. But look, they went there with urine in bottles. That's what I heard that reported on television. They moved it was early in the morning. I had here on the West Coast. It was like, I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock or something like that. And I just clicked on the TV to see what they were lying to us about. And there was this fight going on, right? This conflict. That was before they moved the journalists. That was right when the journalists were being moved out. And they came on and said, well, you know, we have to go, we got to leave. And then they came back and they said, well, they moved us out for health reasons because there was urine being thrown on us. Urine means they went there with urine in bottles. And interestingly enough, that part of the story was clipped out in subsequent news clips. And I only heard it twice on that station and on Fox. They had just, because I click back to Fox, I click back to them. I go back to MSNBC and Fox because they're the two that basically put out the propaganda. So usually you can tell, like, what the action is going on. And actually, Fox actually does tell more of the truth, to be honest, when you really look at it. They get really into it. But so
unless
they went there with
lies,
urine.
Lonnie, unless they're lies, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's just like when you tell me this, I just feel like I know that I'm probably, you know, a conspiratist. I've been told this my whole life, but for fuck's
you know what, though,
loud,
when
you
you're
guys.
Watching them, when you're watching people on television, when you're watching the crowd throw bottles with something flowing out onto the crowd, I mean, they had spray.
But if you go to a Portland, if you were at a Portland protest, right, let's say a Black Lives protest, and there maybe is 10 to 20 black
people. So I get what you're saying, that you
color.
Think this is COINTELPRO.
There's riot police. There's the National Guard. I mean, in this June 4th protest, they had the National Guard for that. And they were telling the non-white supremacist people that they were the ones that were egging on the white supremacists. So I constantly am looking at this thing going down, thinking to myself that the government is condoning this. This
yes.
is condoned actions. And so I don't believe that protesters were throwing urine at journalists. I truly believe that if anyone was, it was planted people to throw it to get rid of the journalist.
Maybe.
Because the government doesn't want it covered.
Well, this is the point. Maybe, but this is where I kind of get this thing about the government. We're the government. And this is why I applaud what Mimi does. She goes into the city hall. For those of you who don't follow her on Facebook or on her blog, she goes into city hall and stands up to Ted Wheeler while he's, you know, refusing to help people who don't have homes, which there are thousands and thousands in Portland. And they're not just like, who cares what their habits are in their lives? The fact is they're out in the streets, having to live in the streets while there are facilities available. Mimi stands up and goes into the city hall and talks to them about, why are you putting live bullets in your practice bullets? Why are we paying for live bullets? Which we talked about here, Mimi. So, but see, this is the point. It's our government. It's not the government. And if we, I personally believe the stories that these guys carried urine with them because they are insiders. They are white supremacists. On Telemundo, there was an interview with a white supremacist. The guy looked right at the guy's face and said, yeah, white people are superior because that's how God made us. Sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry you're a Mexican. Literally, that was part of the interview. It was like shocking. Now, Trump actually believes this. This video of him saying, yes, I believe in genes. I have the right genes. I'm the right person. I have it up here. I'm smart. I mean, honestly, the guy is dumber than dirt, and he believes he's like superior. It's a shock. But this is why Charlottesville happened, because the cops were told to, if those were black protesters, you think the cops would have been told to stand down? You think that guy with the bat who had nails on the end of it would not have been arrested? Instead, he's walking proudly down the street with a bat with nails on the end of it, swinging it around, keeping people away from him, threatening the protesters that are standing up against him. I mean, this is the thing. What we have to confront is not just the violence. It's the superiority. It's the tough guys. We are a superior race. And we are superior because we're men. And it is extremely harmful. Look what they're doing to our planet. Our plan originally was to talk about the unseen effects of mental illness as caused by, you know, the exposure to chemicals and nuclear. Tomorrow, my guest is Erica Dugan, whose family has been really, they are making their family life happy and healthy, but they have been really literally negatively impacted. The quality of their lives has been changed forever. Her children are sick. She and her husband are sick. They constantly have to fight their medical providers to get care because we have this attitude that white people are superior and we have a right to destroy the earth. That's kind of the bottom line. We don't need to be in harmony with the earth. That's like, you know, a non-white thing. Let's be very clear. This is part of it. Destruction of the earth is part of the white supremacy.
The colonization.
Right. Well, moving into capitalism and corporatism. All of it. Mm-hmm.
Destructionism. This is why I'm big on community rights. Like, I'm actively engaged here in Lane County attempting to get community rights. This week, I'm going to be calling up companies and asking them to endorse it because they think they have just enough signatures to get it on the ballot. But without community rights, we can't fight the corporations because we have a legal system that's here. We're not going to not have the legal system. If it all collapsed tomorrow, guess what? Somebody would create something. And it's not going to be for the benefit of the whole. Let's just be clear, right? This is why our Constitution is valuable, because it was kind of a framework that allowed us to grow as a people. Yeah, we came here and oppressed, murdered, death, killed our way across the nation. But there's no reason why people can't get behind honoring the treaties with the Native Americans, first and primary. That has to be, in my view, if you can't honor the first agreements you make, what kind of agreements can you agree if you say you're going to live by the Constitution? So, for me, it's a lot about we're not even at the denouement. We're reaching the climax of it all, but we haven't hit it yet because people refuse to clearly address that we need a policy change and we need a change of heart. We need humanity to allow itself to spring out.
We need to be less tolerant. I honestly feel that way. I feel like we are way too tolerant of people who
hate. I agree.
Being our government officials like Trump, you know, here Trump's allowed to sit and talk about Muslims and refugees and how we don't want them here and building walls. Well, why doesn't he say that about the white supremacist? You know, that's where I'm at. I want him to be saying that we don't tolerate hate in our country and that we don't tolerate hate towards one another. But he doesn't. He wants to incite hate.
Look what he told the police officers. Don't worry about roughing them up, boys.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Seen the pictures of the people of color that are cops sitting there with Ku Klux Klan babies touching them? I mean, these boys aren't all white that were cops. And they had insane restraint, as you far know as what, I'm though? Concerned.
What really needs to be addressed is it's not just uneducated white people. A lot of it is really a huge lot of it. Behind it, there's people that are normal, regular Americans, like accountants, you know, police officers. Well, I mean, there's people that
there are. I wouldn't call police officers normal, regular people. I mean, I just have to say that. I don't think that they are normal, regular people at all. I think that they're violent. Probably, you know, if their records were allowed to be used from their childhood, you know, many are probably animal abusers. Many probably were the result of abuse themselves, you know, and now they're on this fucking oppressive kick to oppress others, you know, which is all they do 24/7, including their wives, you know, and their own kids. We see that here. We see it everywhere, you know. I mean, I just have to say that about cops. They're not normal.
Right. Yeah, I agree with. See, I think,
sir, you know, but cops, no.
Yeah,
right.
Well, this is the thing. I just got like a little text from somebody on Skype that said, "We don't tolerate hate, yet we back Israel and let Israel run our policy." And cops aren't black, white, brown, yellow. Cops are blue. Black and blue, that's what I'd tell you. They're black and blue, because this is my real feeling about cops. There is no good cop. You know why? Because there's a lot of bad cops. There's a few really horrible cops sparse through the whole thing, but they keep their trap shut and they protect the really bad cops. That makes you a bad cop. There's no good cop in this system that we have right now until we start seeing police officers held accountable for brutalizing the people that they are made to serve.
That's right.
That's mm-hmm. my feeling. And unless every single person in the police force stands up and says, "Oh my God, we're outraged that you threw that kid to the ground and kicked him in the face. That's outrageous." And punching a woman in the face. We have video after video of cops punching women in the face. And those good cops that are around them all stay silent. So you're not a good cop. It's like people watching your neighbors beat the crap out of your kids. They go to school day after day with bruises on their body. You hear the screaming coming from their house and you do nothing. You're not a good neighbor and you're not a good person. Because as a victim of child abuse, I prayed to God that somebody would hear us and call the police. It never happened. So, you know what, this idea about a good cop, bad cop, I'm sorry, Michael, but I disagree. And yes, Israel is an arm of the industrial military complex. End of point.
Yep.
They started it to promote war, and it's doing a great job. So, and I know Michael, he's a gun defender. He likes second rights and amendments and guns. We've had many thoughtful conversations. He has a great show called Primer Time, and his brother's in the service, and they talk. And it's a thoughtful show about gun ownership and responsibility and what all that means. That's not the issue about the industrial military complex. And I don't believe that we need to have arms to protect ourselves from the government. I still have not bought a gun either.
But I want to say about the hate is hate. So I agree that hate is hate. And I have a friend who, she travels around the world and she has a really nice, fluffy life. I'm going to just say that. And she's white, and she doesn't like to talk about politics. And she says to me, I'm so upset about Trump and what happened in Charlottesville, because obviously he's incited this hatred and this anger, and, you know, that this was permissible by our government. And I'm so sick about it. I feel like I should Facebook something. I'm going to Facebook about this. And, of course, for me, this was ridiculous, because I'm like, how could you not Facebook about this or talk about this or do anything about this? Because to me, doing Facebooking is nothing, quite honestly. That's not an action. That's just like having conversations. But my whole point is, this is no longer about politics, okay? What's going on? Racism is not about politics. Racism is about a human value. It's about a behavior that we find acceptable with one another. And I have a lot of people in my life that's pro-guns, pro-nukes for that matter, pro-violence, and I still don't condone it. I don't condone it. And you can have that opinion, but as soon as I see you hurting someone, then I don't share that. That's not acceptable to me. and I can't tolerate that behavior. And that's where we're talking about how individuals have to stand up to the people around them and say, yeah. No, you're not allowed to hit people. You're not allowed to call them names.
Non-violence.
You're not allowed to make fucking jokes about race and whatnot. You know, like those are not acceptable. And I think that maybe then we would change the culture a little bit. But I think from my experiences of being down in the South, is it's completely acceptable to make fun of women. It's completely acceptable to make fun of people for how they look and how they behave. But you can hate. Hate is acceptable. It's funny to hate people. And that's what I think is like the biggest challenge. And that's where we're at with our police. Our police are paid by taxpayers' money to protect people, period. Not corporations. They're not supposed to protect people's money. But somehow we've lost our value. And now we're paying our taxpayers' money to buy bullets and tanks and all kinds of unnecessary machinery for our police officers who are supposed to be protecting the people, but instead have sold their souls and are protecting, say, Nike or Google or whatever freaking company is in your town that they're afraid the windows aren't going to get busted out. I mean, that's where the problem lies, is our system. And it's our
This is what I'd say. Part of the system is that the judges get bought out, because judges have they can be privately, you know, basically in their campaigns, they do what they're told. I mean, they get paid to get it. They have to raise funds to be elected, to be on the ballot. And so judges are very, I mean, this is part of the reason why we have these laws. And as far as the cop cars and the militarizing the police, that happened because of the industrial military complex again. Where do you think they have to send their last year's equipment? Because they keep building new. Someone came up with a brilliant idea about 15 years ago to like, hey, let's sell our extra military gear to the police. And we can even train them how to use it. And we'll put them through military training. And that became a big thing. Every police force has some kind of military training, and they train the cops like we're the enemy. So they're brainwashing the cops before they even hit the street. It's beyond, but again, it is what's acceptable. What's acceptable is nonviolence. And actually, the whole thing with the nuclear industry is violence against our environment. The thing with the oil and the pipeline, violence against our environment. Allowing massive amounts of people to be homeless in a country where we have so much money and so much capability. Right now, we have the resources to put every single person in a decent shelter. And that does not happen. Why? Because I'm living in a little town in Eugene, Oregon, where we have an armory, a military site that the government owns, an armory that is closed down that we don't use anymore because we aren't shipping our kids off to Afghanistan anymore. That place houses 250 people, four or five kitchens, five or six baths, three or four baths, I think three kitchens and five baths. That's what I think it has. And it houses 200. At one point, I wanted to make that a shelter for people that don't have homes, houseless people. I put a big effort. I got a lot of pushback here in progressive Eugene because the people in that neighborhood did not want it. Not because the city council loved the idea. There were people who thought it was great. But the people in the neighborhood went, uh-uh. And they basically told me, we don't want those kind of people walking through our part of town. We like them staying down by the river. It's fine over there. They don't need to come. As if they're a threat to our society. They live in our town. They're not robbing us daily. I had so many arguments, and it was just like, we need a change of humanity, even in the quote. When you said, oh, well, people in the South like to make fun of people. I'm going to tell you, Heidi, I think people in America, I am very picky about words. People come on my show and I am picky. You say the word crazy or nuts or call names. I feel like I was blessed from my childhood to have learned all these lessons. But it is so important for us to have humanity.
Well, there's very little humanity out there from my perspective. And, you know, there's videos of me confronting Nazis in Portland on YouTube. And the comments from people around the world, and this is around the world, to me, about me, are so, like, I'm, it's not like I'm okay with it. I don't mean to say that because I'm, you know, I don't even know the words, right? I'm not scared by them. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not, you know, I think that's part of it because I'm not afraid to die. This stuff doesn't really get under my skin. It's just me observing people. And so this is an example. This is on a video. I don't want to name the name of the video. And this woman says, this is about me talking about my issue around liberals in Portland, telling us, those of us who fight fascists, that we shouldn't fight fascists, that we should really just do protests where we sing, you know, kumbaya shit. And this is me telling them, no, you're wrong. You know, we need to stand up against this, not just sing about it, you know? So anyway, there's a comment by this woman, and this is one of many. And this is one day ago. This is what it says next to her comment. One day ago. Where's Mr. Dodge Challenger when you need him? She's referring to the guy who killed Heather Heyer about
me.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so this other person replies and says to her, too soon, but still, LOL. So this is, I mean, this is just a, you know, they talk about me being Jewish. They talk about, you know, me smelling because this is anti-Semitic shit. I'm not saying that anything needs to be done about it. I'm just saying that, like, what you're saying about hate, what both of you are saying about hate, it's everywhere. I have no idea if this can be stamped out. I don't think it can. I think that the biggest problem with Trump is that because he got voted in, or just got in due to electoral college, because he got in, this is just flaming now. And I don't know how you put out a wildfire like this. I just don't. But I'm going to keep jumping into it with my hose.
It has, but this is the thing. This is what Gandhi said. You're not going to fight it. The fire has to be our determination, our resolve. Look, this is the issue. I think every time you see a comment like that, report it. Take it off. And actually, I look at videos to report things. I have reported a lot of things. I think it's very important to report these comments on social media as hate speech and hate crime, because that's what they are. And almost always they get taken off. And I think it is, instead of allowing it to fester for other people to come in and read on and slather on and, you know, like, oh, yeah. I mean, because that's what happens. It's like a bunch of little rats. They all like, it's like a circle.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so I believe we need to just go in and take it off right away. And as soon as you see it, report it. And honestly, this is what it means to speak out. I have been called slanderous names. Horrible things. I've on my own channel, horrible things. And I just report it, and I block those people from coming on my channel. Because you know what I know about haters? You are not going to change them. They want to hate. Until they love themselves, they are not going to have the come to Jesus moment that they need. You know what I mean? Like, they are that. I mean, honestly, this is the issue. I honestly, and frankly, in the last 2 weeks, I have kind of been stunned. I'm not a Jewish person. I'm sort of somewhere in the middle of all of it. I was raised a Catholic, but I had kind of vague ideas what it meant, anti-Semitism. Up until the last 2 weeks, I have never really heard some of the most salacious comments on Instagram, YouTube. And I mean, I'm not a pro-Israel. In fact, my brother-in-law, who is a rabbi, stopped talking to me because I told him that this Israel is not God's Israel. It is the Israel of the industrial military complex. And
that's,
I believe
right,
that
Lonnie.
It's not the Israel of God, because the Israel of God would not be creating this, what they're doing. And he stopped talking to me over it. But you see, I lost a family member over speaking clearly on how I feel about Israel.
Well, if I could interject here, so you guys know I have lots of family from Eastern Washington, and and they are very justified in their lives, but some are very loving and accepting of me, and we can actually sit and have really great conversations. But one cousin in general, or in specifically, he said that he would run me over if he saw me in the street.
Did you report that to the police?
No, I didn't report it to the police, because this is my cousin. And I thought, what, how could you hate me? And so I confronted it and said, and to be honest, I think his post was that he condoned running people over and that how dare us stop people in the streets. And
oh my God.
I was like, do you realize that this is me? I'm the one that goes out into the street.
Did you report that to the Facebook?
I mean, I didn't report it. I reported it to my other cousins.
Wow.
I reported it to him. I said to him, you know, like, dude, what is, I mean, this is our family. And this is my husband's from the South, and he talks about the Civil War because he's actually from West Virginia. And West Virginia was known as the brother against brother in the Civil War because one brother is a complete shithead and one isn't. And that is what's happening even today. Like, my husband can't even talk to his own brother because they differ so much in opinions about what happened in Charlottesville. And that's what I'm saying about my family. Like, it's not my brother, but my cousin was willing to say, I would run you over, you know, because you have no business being in the road. When you're in the road, you're no longer my family member. You're an enemy. And I am like, dude, I'm in that road. All I want is a hug from you. Why can't you just stop your car and come hug me? Why do you got to go running me over? And that's the thing. What are you so afraid of that you need to go in your Challenger or your Dodge truck or whatever the heck you're driving and run people over? What merits that kind of hate? I don't get it. I honestly really cannot understand.
White supremacy, my dear. Let's get right to back to the point of what this is.
White fragility. That's white fragility even though.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now we're talking white fragility. They're afraid to call other people equals. And I guess maybe I'm more confident in myself and my person that I feel that we are all equals. You know, I work with children. I believe children are our equals. I can't stand how children are treated like second-class Americans. I mean, before this interview, I was telling Miriam how upset I was in my county. Lincoln County in Oregon State has 14 foster homes and over 100 foster kids. I have 22 foster kids that I see that have no placement. They have no home. These kids are expected to go home with a stranger to a hotel room and sleep, and then they get taken to school the next day. Then they get picked up, they go back to a different hotel room with a different caseworker and sleep, and then are expected to go to school the next day. These living situations are unhumane.
Mm-hmm.
So what we expect of each other is unhumane. That's why Miriam has gone so far to be active in Portland, because last winter and then in the summer, the conditions of the homeless were unhumane. And we're so busy criticizing other countries and criticizing other people's politics. People really need to take a look in the mirror. They really do. And they need to know what they feel good. All of those white supremacists marching with torches, they went home to girlfriends and wives. Where are those women now? Did they go to bed with them that night? You know, if my husband went and marched like that, he wouldn't have a home to come home to.
They all were probably proud of their spouses. They were probably really proud having parties, thinking like, man, we made the news. We really upset those liberals. Like, that's this. They really like think that we are this conversation is the problem. I mean, we're talking about mentally ill. This is why we have to assert the law. I keep going back to like community rights and asserting the law. But like, even with the police officers, where is the movement to make, you know, one of the big things against the immigration policy that they say that Trump wants to do is that it's going to prevent people from calling the police, because now even people who are battered won't call the police because they're afraid they're going to get arrested, right? So if that mentality, actually, for me as a woman, the police really are the last people I would call if something happened in my house. I would call my neighbors. I would call the fire department. I would not call the police. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. There is no way I would call a police officer. That is inhumane. The inhumane treatment that people of color, that women, I mean, children in our country, we have a different life. Black people, they have to run a different life than white supremacists. So this thing in Charlotte is them just exercising their muscles. That's why you got that comment, Mimi, because people are exercising their comments like, oh, we just need one more, you know, pretty soon this is going to be common.
It makes me think, Miriam, of when we did the Hanford rally. When was that? 2012.
Right.
I remember when we did boobs out for Hanford or A15.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. we did this. We couldn't get any press releases at all. No press coverage. And so we went, got a bunch of women together, and went to downtown Portland during rush hour and painted, you know, no nukes on our boobs, and got tons of attention. And still, it was like 80% negative. And still, people could just say, talk shit. Nobody could. It made me start to realize that people are just trolls. You know, it's easier to talk shit and make fun of and put people down.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one comment on that list of comments, hundreds of them. But one said, let's put her in the oven. And this isn't the first time I've seen that on these comments. So I said, I fucking dare you to say that to my face. Show up. Get the hell off your computer and show up, you know? And that's how I feel about it. You know, these people, Heidi, it's exactly what you just said. They're just trolls, man. And they perpetuate this, you know, it's trollism, right? Like, whatever. But it does, it's part of the fodder for the fire, you know? And so I do call them out. I'm like, I'll fucking meet you face to face.
Right.
But they won't. They won't.
Well, because they're
never
afraid.
Show up. Mm-hmm. And those who do show up, I, you know, it's what happened with me a week ago, which is, you know, before this video came out, when I did go to confront Joey Gibson and Alan Puckett and tell them directly, I am who got your job lost. I am the one who got you fired, Joey Gibson, which he completely denied ever working there or ever being fired. But we know that he was. The company did say that, you know. And then this last guy, Jacob Ott, we did a phone thing to his company. We found out he got outed, and a really dangerous guy. And we got him fired.
Those are both known neo-Nazis here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just for the background, for the people who don't know those names or know that story.
And so you guys went after where they worked and demanded that they not have their jobs. Miriam, is that what happened?
And we have, for me personally, in my efforts, I've gotten, with other people's help, three different people fired so far. We've only known about three. So we're 3 for 3 right now. One had to shut his entire store down because we protested in front of his store. And that was in Lake Oswego. And so he's out of business completely. And that was his store. And he's a known neo-Nazi. And he would put Nazi slogans in his window on the main strip of Lake Oswego. Anyway, he's not there anymore. Because I said, wait a minute. What? There's a guy who puts the, he's a Nazi and he puts the, you know, no, zero tolerance. So I just put a protest together and we went, Lonnie, and this guy got ran out of town. He's not there. Then there was Jacob Ott most recently. We found out through Rose City Antifa. If anybody wants to donate to Rose City Antifa, please do. They got Jacob Ott's information where he works. So we did a whole phone in telling them repeatedly who he is, who they've hired, and they needed to fire him. And we couldn't get confirmation. So I went to the business in Portland. I went upstairs and I spoke to the management and they said, he no longer works here. I said, did he work here? Yes, he did work here. He no longer works here. I said, did you fire him? He said, we can't tell you that legally, but he no longer works here. And then before that, it was Joey Gibson, who we found out was a realtor with a business that was has branches all over Portland. And when I found that out, we went there and we put three women. We went there and we protested. And within 2 hours, he was fired. And now from Charlottesville, there's been, I think, two people so far who have been fired from their jobs. One is on the way out and two have already been fired because they've been identified. And those companies that they work for were called. And nobody wants to associate with them if you have a business.
You know what? On Sunday, Mary Ng put out a video that there was a protest in Lake Oswego in support of the rally in Charlottesville. So I bet you two to one it was this guy's group of gang of friends. And she got harassed. Her video was very interesting. She got harassed by people as she was walking through the crowd because she was saying, you know, no fascism in USA. And they were like, go back home. You don't belong here, Snowflake. This is our country. It was really like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty harsh. I mean, it was like, and the comments, like you said, were pretty harsh. So, but you know what? We cannot overcome this until we face it. So in a way, we're looking at it and we have to figure out what is going to change we have to change the hearts and minds of people to understand that we're one humanity. The white people are not better. White people are not stronger. And, you know, it's contingent upon us to demand of our government how to behave, not just go, oh, the government's going to do this. I mean, imagine you've been in protests at Black Lives Matter. Imagine if that had been Black Lives Matter protesting in Charlottesville, what the police would have done if they behaved like that. We'd have how many dead protesters, probably? 10 or 15 dead protesters.
All shot by the cops. All shot by the cops.
Or beaten up by the cops, you know? And how many people
they would just shoot. They don't bother beating up people, especially if you're Black. They've made that really clear.
They just shoot you.
They just shoot you. That's why they need live ammo.
And that's why it's ridiculous that Charlottesville went down the way that it did, and there was never even a riot cop called. And I didn't see one police officer look like the freaking cops that we see in Portland. You know, they look like stormtroopers in Portland. You can't even see their faces. They're wearing so much face gear and head gear and bulletproof gear.
Same in Seattle.
And both those places, none of the protesters are violent. They've sworn to be peaceful and go in with nonviolence, and yet they still get met. This is without torches. This is without, you know, the only threat is upset. Whereas in Charlottesville, they were threatening people's lives. They were openly threatening people's lives. And still the police stood by and did nothing. Nothing at all. And so really the protester who went and drove in I hate calling them protesters now because it's so confusing.
Just call him a terrorist, Heidi. He's a terrorist.
Yeah.
Just call him a terrorist. You don't even need to use his name.
Foreign. Yeah, it's unreal to me that even happened, honestly. It's just unreal to me and then that they're not handling it even more seriously than they are. And that's just more validation of this white supremacy colonization of our culture that we're living in and this open hate. And that's where, you know, I live in Oregon on the coast, and there are people who are hanging freaking Confederate flags right now. And
they're doing it right here in Portland.
Yeah, they're doing it
everywhere.
They're
flying them from their trucks here, everywhere.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's where we have to be strong enough and to confront these people. And
you know what's
dude.
Really amazing is really when, at what point, I mean, what does that, when people fly that Confederate flag, what are they doing that about? I've heard people say, well, we're running it so we don't want to have to, you know, not talk about our history. Well, really, do we fly the British flag? Because we fought Britain too. I mean, really. Let's just be clear, because there's always two sides to every war. So does that mean for every war we fight, the Mexican flag, do we fly in their flag also? I mean, at what point are we going to, like, say, we are one America and we are one people? I mean,
no. So the Confederate flag to me is the exact opposite of that, Lonnie. I mean, this whole thing that went down in Charlottesville was over a damn statue of Lee, General Lee.
That was put up in the 60s. Put up in the 60s to protest the civil rights movement. It wasn't about history. It was like to show the people, you guys might have changed the laws, but he's going to be around here forever.
Right. Which is meaning to me that those supremacist thoughts are being reinforced by idolizing this stupid freaking hero. You know, he's not a hero. He's not a hero, right? He lost the war. Lee's not a hero. And I don't understand why the statues would even be up, but this whole, people are dying over a damn statue, over a guy who had horrible ideals, you know? And so that's where this Confederate flag comes from. It's like, what are you hanging a flag for white supremacy? You know, and that's when we have to go to those people and say, take your flag down, dude. You don't get to have that flag. I believe in freedom of speech, but I do not believe in freedom of hate. And I do not believe in freedom of threatening people. You cannot go around and threaten people. When I see a Confederate flag, I feel threatened.
It's threatening.
That means to me that they do not value my life.
That's right.
And so that means that they're dangerous. That means those people are the people who, when I grew up, put people behind their cars and dragged them.
Yeah.
So that's a threat. Yep. That is not, that to me is just as dangerous as someone walking with a gun down the street, which I might remind you, most of these people are NRA pro-gun people. And you know what? Every person out there who says they believe in guns, I would really wish they would shoot themselves in the foot. And when they survive that, then let's talk. Because most of the people I know who are pro-guns have never been shot. And I personally, if you know me, had to go through a horrible trauma last year where my own brother was shot and nearly died, and it was only through miracles that he lived. And am I pro-gun? Hell no! I am not pro-gun. If someone's going to threaten me, I will kill them with my own bare hands. I don't need a gun. I don't think anyone needs guns. We don't need nukes. And really, we don't even need to hate each other. We need to look at each other and talk to each other and work through our freaking hatred. But like Marianne said, am I overly hopeful? Probably, because some of these people's hate is so deep, I can't even comprehend it. I can't comprehend why we would hate each other so much. And I guess I just don't share in that fear.
I think people need to see that documentary, Tough Guys. I've said this to everybody that I know, and probably have said it to both of you guys many times. It's by Jackson Katz, and you can find a copied version on YouTube. It's 56 minutes long. And it really, to his thesis, it was his thesis. He's an educator, and his question was, why do we have this culture that we have? With these hyper-masculine men, with this whole war machine, it is an intentional thing. And what he discovered, it is intentional. And if it's intentional, that means we can intentionally stop it. We can return to how humans are supposed to really participate with each other. This is completely unnecessary. And I agree,
we need
to call it out. Go ahead, Mimi.
I want to remind people who might be listening that, in case you don't know, that the hate extends not just to black and brown people, not just to Jews, but to Muslims, to any religion that is not quote unquote Christian, to trans people, to queer people, to basically every single type of person except white male quote unquote Christians. And so I'm guessing that you all know, even in your families, people. So this affects you. These fascists affect you and the people you know. And I implore you to get out when you know that there's a rally, a quote unquote free speech rally, which is more like what Heidi said, it's a hate speech rally, to go there and confront these people face to face. Don't sing on the corner where they aren't. Confront them. Stop them from being able to do their hate speech, because you should. It's the right thing to do. It's a humane thing to do.
That's
Don't
what Marianne
allow
did.
Them
she was by
that.
Herself, a woman by herself in that little town. What's the name of it where that guy Joey lives? What's that little town?
Oswego,
thank you. Yeah, she was up there by herself as they were having this protest, calling out the fascists, telling them that is the symbol of hatred in our country, and you guys are putting it up. She wasn't insulting them and telling them they were horrible people. She was explaining why she objects to that and that this is objectionable, and she finds it offensive. And they were yelling at her back, but you know what? She had the nerve to do it, and she put it up. I mean, my hat's off to her. That's what it takes
Miriam,
for every single person.
And Miriam, you never punched them either. And that's another thing I'm seeing a lot of, is a lot of this punching.
Oh,
Nazis.
No.
You know,
no,
if we
punch
Nazis, we're just as bad as the Nazis. This is not about punching people. This is about confronting them with their hate.
Right.
And having them put a face to their hate. Miriam, I know you very well. It's really hard for me to believe that anyone can hate you. You are the sweetest, most loving heart that I know. And so for me, for someone to sit and shout those obscenities and have those hateful wishes for you, clearly they're not even seeing you. But now when they go home, your face is going to come into their memories. And I would like to believe it's going to be harder for them to hate putting your face to that, because you're not a hateful person and you weren't even there in a hateful place. You were in a place of like, why do you think this is acceptable? This is not acceptable. And that's what I feel like we all need to put on our courage boots when we see the Confederate flag and when we hear the racist jokes. And, you know, when the little shit is happening around us, that's the shit we need to confront.
In your own neighborhood.
In our own neighborhood, in our own place, in our own churches, in our own schools, we need to confront it and say, this is not acceptable behavior. And hopefully...
Right. Including...
Go ahead. Including...
I'm sorry to cut you off, Heidi.
Oh, no, no, please, please, Miriam. Including...
I was going to say, including when you see the cops pulling over somebody who is not white.
Yeah.
You have to stop your car, stop what you're doing. If you can, take your phone out, turn the video on, and tell those cops that this is a human being to back away and not hurt them. You have to use your words. You can't just stand there and watch as if it's a movie. It's not a fucking movie. It's real life, and cops kill people who aren't white.
Even with you videotaping with your phone. That isn't
right.
And that's the, like, you have a legal right to videotape. So first of all, stand brave with that action, but realize that that doesn't stop them. I mean, on 101, right, there was a transient, and I watched and with my own eyes, cops shoot him. And I was appalled. I was appalled that this had happened.
Oh my God.
Mm. And luckily he lived. But at the same time, it was like, why do you have real bullets in your, you know, why did you result to the bullets? Like, there were so many things that could have happened, and I watched right before my eyes. And so definitely stop, and definitely video, and definitely say no to these people that they can't do this.
The word is to interrupt. We have to interrupt hatred, you know, because when we do that, there's a really good chance that you just saved somebody's life.
You know,
and that's
that reminds me of how you train a dog, right? If you really want to train, if you want to have a well-trained dog and you know you have a dog that's kind of jumpy and nervous, the way to get to them is before you allow them to get into that panic state, you sort of interrupt their state of mind and put them on a decent track. That's all it's really about, is having people, because we have been trained. There is really serious propaganda and gaslighting. These are terms that are actually being used. So it's up to people who have humane, rational thoughts to actually get people from going that way. This is why I'm very much against, like, violent video games. I think for children, I'm against them for adults. I think violent video games really are inhumane. I think they are horrible, horrible programming, and I'm totally against them. I don't let them come into my house.
I don't like protesters to feel afraid to come out into the streets. And so when, to me, people were very tolerant of these terrorists who are out terrorizing, and we're saying, oh, we're giving them the freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. Some people had the balls to go and counter protest. And then they go and counter protest, and then they're victimized and killed. And then people are afraid to come out and counter protest. And so for me, that's really a frightening thing to be watching in our society, because right now the counter protesters are the ones that need the most courage, and they need to not be afraid of these. They cannot entertain that fear that they're trying to install in us. And that's where I go back to my cousin saying he would drive me over if he saw me in the streets. And my rebuttal was, well, all I would want was a hug. And, you know, as you're hitting me, I'm thinking, I love you, cousin, because you're my cousin. And that's how we have to be. We have to confront one another and let them know. And, Miriam, you do that. You go to Ted Wheeler. You're very compassionate with the mayor of Portland. For as much hate and as much deceit as he's done and lies he's told you and your community groups, you still go with a lot of compassion for him, telling him, hey, if you listen to me, we can help this city. I have solutions. You don't go there and tell him, you know, you hate him and he should die. You know what I mean? You're always trying to work with him. Maybe more so.
I had been trying to work with him. That ended. It ended.
Fairly
recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's ended because for many reasons, and we don't have time now, but that's a great show, I think, you know, for some other time. Why not to love Ted Wheeler? But tomorrow is the solidification of $2 to $4 million going to our Portland Police Department for live ammo, because they ran out of the ammo that was allotted to them through next year. So now they're getting $2 to $4 million for live ammo while we still have Nazi cop Kruger on the police force heading the vice department.
Right. And someone told me a statistic, like this would buy a bullet for every person in the city of Portland.
There's not even a million people here. There's not even a million people here.
How many people have been killed in Oregon?
700 and something thousand.
Eight people have been killed this year. We're in the eighth month. That's one a month. In this year, I just looked it up, there are 619 people killed by police since this year. The largest state is California. So this is not something that's even an issue. And people of color are by far more killed. Well, actually, not true. By race, it says 246, black is 134, Hispanic 195, other 18, and 126 unknown. So out of 619, 246 are white. That's, you know, more than half are people of color. The way they put the statistics makes people go, oh, look, whites are killed more often than, but you have to actually add up all those others because those are all non-whites, right?
Yeah, that's like messed up statistics.
This is how they use things like this. This is where the Nazis and actually the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, this is where they get their twisting people's brains. Go look it up. Even the Washington Post says that the more whites are killed than anybody else. That's actually not true. You have to actually think about what
they're... It's not true.
No,
so not true.
It's not true. So we have about a minute left, you guys. This has been a pretty interesting conversation. I want to thank you for it. Do you guys want to have any actions that you want to get people involved in or anything that people should know about?
Miriam, tell more about city council tomorrow. Let's ask some folks to join you tomorrow.
Sure. City council in Portland, it starts at 9:30 in the morning. The agendas can be found online at Portland City Council. And you can call, just Google it, Portland City Hall, and call the mayor. And tell him that he really sucks. He's a dangerous man. He's a white supremacist. He is a Nazi lover, sympathizer, who is now about to give $4 million to the cops for live ammo. Voice your disgrace to him directly. That would be my action.
Told that live ammo is normal for police departments now because they need to be able to study the impact.
Yeah, maybe they should learn how to use their voices and say no before they start shooting people.
Well, this is the thing. $4 million is a lot. You're telling me they can't get by with $2 million and we can give $2 million to the people who are sleeping on the streets in Portland, even if you want to negotiate. That's an unreasonable number while you have people sleeping on the streets in Portland.
They're using the number $2 million as the number that they're giving to the cops for live bullets, but it's truly $2 to $4 million, which means it's $4 million. So that's...
Put your courage feet on, you guys. Thank you guys for this great conversation. Talk to you tomorrow.
Truth on the Tracks. You can catch every Monday night and Friday night at 9.